Our scripture today is from Ephesians 2, and I'll read the first 10 verses with you and for you. It's page 1079 if you're following the Pew Bible, and probably most of you are quick on your devices. You can find it there as well. Ephesians 2. Hear the word of God. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live, when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace that you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. This is the word of the Lord. And you say, thanks be to God. This is the word of the Lord. Cool, awesome. I'm going to ask you just for a second to stand up, if you're able, if you're not too. Just do one complete turn like this, and then sit back down again. Thank you. And you're wondering, why did you have to do that? I will explain it to you. As I'm now working at two churches, I'm actually a half-time preacher. So Joe preaches here most often, as you know, and I have an intern working with me in Brampton who preaches at least half the time. And that means I'm listening to a lot of other people's sermons and having a lot of conversations about what in the world is a sermon and thinking to myself, what are we actually trying to do up here? So I thought, this is what I think I'm trying to do. We should know that going in. I'm trying to influence you to think about your life in terms of the truth of God's word. Right? I want you to evaluate what you're doing. And I happen to know also that that also goes in return, because one of the first things you're going to do when you get out of here is say, I still don't know why he made us stand up and turn around. You're going to evaluate my life and what I'm doing. That's kind of this thing we got going on here. All right, so today we're following our theme for the year, which is follow me. And so I asked you to follow me to practice that, because if I'm going to get you to follow Jesus, I want to know that you're at least tracking with what I'm talking about, what I'm saying that he says. And we're in the blessings month. As you see on the wall there, we have worshiping, discipling, and blessing. We did discipling in September. We're doing blessing this month, and we're moving into worshiping next month. Looking at these pillars, these basic things of how we live as Christians in this area, as we think about what does it mean to take our next steps in following Jesus Christ. And then today, we're going to look at the good news of giving. Now, this next slide is actually other titles, and I'm going to skip because they're not that good. I might go back to them. Uh-oh, there we go. So there's three reasons I'm preaching on Ephesians 2 today. The first one is that it's blessing month, right? We're talking about that pillar. Second one is it's pledge season. You've heard all about that already. And the third one is Thursday is Halloween, but really Reformation Day. And I've been noticing that everywhere I go already, especially this weekend, people are already in costume, so I thought we can easily do Reformation season, just like Halloween has become a season, and then Christmas becomes a season instead of just a day. And so Ephesians 2 is going to connect these three themes, right? And we're going to hopefully tie that all up in a nice bow, and you'll go, that made perfect sense to me. And if not, you get to evaluate me on your way home. That's part of the deal. All right, the conclusion is our starting point. Now, I'm going to go backwards first. Sorry, brand new clicker. An alternative title for this message, it is the good news of giving. An alternative title is the gospel in giving, good, guilt, grace, and gratitude. Real question, not just rhetorical. Where did I get at least three of those G words on the bottom there? Anyone want to shout that out? Heidelberg Catechism, bonus points for you. You can cash in your bonus points at the welcome desk on your way out. I have no idea what you get, but do that anyways. The Heidelberg Catechism. So, Reformed thinking, as we think about Reformation Day, loves to use the Heidelberg Catechism as its teaching guide, because it's probably the best teaching tool we've produced. And it basically says, the deal is this. You are guilty of sin. Jesus, by incredible grace, has forgiven you. And your call is to live a life of gratitude in response to that. When we say it that way, it always leaves us looking like the downer people. And trust me, Calvinists are seen on the theological map as kind of the depressing people. Not our fault, but true enough. And it's because we always forget that there's actually Lord's Day 1 at the beginning of the Heidelberg Catechism, which says, what is my only comfort in life and death that I'm not my own, but I belong body and soul and life and death to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ? The good news comes first, right? The good news comes first. There's no use talking about what's wrong in the world unless you actually have some sense that there's a good foundation, a good world that we're living in that we're trying to live out of. All right, now I'm going to jump ahead to the one I was supposed to be on, which is this one, because there's going to be another question, of course. The conclusion is our starting point, CFRC. Does anyone know what CFRC is there? Sounds like a Christian Reformed Church with an F in it, but that's not it. Yeah, that's sorry. Yeah, I didn't know how funny that was. That's right. My bad. Does anyone know what it actually stands for? It's okay if you don't, because that means I'm actually teaching you something. In Reformed thinking, we look at the Bible as having sort of a trajectory. It has a timeline to it. It starts with creation, the first C. Then it moves to the fall, the F. Then it turns to redemption, Jesus coming and turning things around. And then it ends with consummation, when all things are made new again. I'm not sure exactly that consummation is the best word there, but it helps that the first and last words start with C, because the beginning and the end are very similar. Right? Our idea is simply this. God created this world. It got messed up by sin. Jesus began the redemption process, right? And we're looking forward to the time when it's as good as it was in the Garden of Eden. It is good and whole and perfect and true. And that timeline helps us think about everything that we do, including our giving, which I'm going to get to at the end of this message. But the conclusion is our starting point. So I actually start Ephesians 2 with the last verse of the section I read. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We are God's creative artwork. We are image bearers of God. We actually reflect who God is in our bodies, in our lives, in our abilities, and all that we do. Right? That's a pretty high calling. That's a pretty cool thing for God to say right from the beginning. So when I talk about the Trinity, and Elaine in her discipleship course has forced me to think about the Trinity, when I think about the Trinity to me isn't just that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Trinity is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in the most amazing relationship imaginable. And because they have such an incredible bond of love between them, they say, we need to give this to somebody else as well, because if you're actually a loving person, you need an object for that love. You need to give that away. You know, if you're a loving person, that as it overflows from you, it actually multiplies. It doesn't get less, right? If you share your love with another person, you don't have less love. You have more love, right? God knows this. This is God's being. This is what the Trinity is all about. And so he says in Genesis 1, let us create human beings in our image, right? We're his handiwork. We're his image. We're a reflection of him. We were created in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus was right there at the beginning already. He didn't just show up on the scene in Matthew chapter 1. Jesus was there from the beginning. And we have what he's all about in his relationship with the Father inside of us. We are created in him. Really, this comes down to this. That goes up there. We were created to bless. So in this blessing month, we thought about blessed to be a blessing. And as we think about giving, which is really just one small part of our blessing journey as followers of Christ, what I want you to hang on to is this simple fact. You were created to bless others. You were created to love others. You were created to share. You were created to have an output that makes a difference in the lives of other people. As Chris said, we're doing a whole bunch of things here as a community and in our lives that do that. That's what we were created for. Okay. Now, this is how you know how blessed you are, right? So, if I've grown up, more or less as I have, with always enough food, right? I try and think sometimes, when's the last time I was actually hungry, like ravenously hungry? It was when I was a teenager, right? All teenage boys can eat forever and are always hungry. But when was the last time when I thought, man, I hope I get food coming my way? I don't think that's happened in my life, right? I have a hard time understanding what poverty is because I've never really lived in it. I've seen other people live in it. I've hung around with people who've lived in it. I've tried things like fasts and so on, so I've experienced tastes of it, but it's pretty hard to know what's messy when you've only known what's good. Now, it also works the other way. People who've grown up in poverty, when they come to a place when suddenly they've been blessed by all the good things of this world, they're so thankful. They're so thankful. Right? So I know a fair number of people who grew up not knowing Jesus Christ. And once they came to know them, they had this glow about them. And most of them will tell me, you know, when I first came to Christ, my experience was that everything was just so beautiful and true, and I was so excited, and I really felt the Spirit working in my life, right? Because they had known what it was to be without, and now they're experiencing what it was to receive. Ephesians 2 says this. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. Paul's not trying to be subtle here, in case you can't tell. He's not saying to us, you know, the real problem in this world is that people aren't quite good enough, right? They're good, but they're not quite good enough. He's saying, no, really, the message you need to understand is that every aspect of your life has a messiness to it, has a twist to it, has a brokenness to it. And if you don't own that reality, you're going to miss out on how good the good news is. Right? There's a book out there with the title, The Danger of Growing Up in a Christian Home, or The Danger of Growing Up in a Church. And you know what the danger of growing up in the church is? You've always known this in such a way that you have a hard time appreciating what incredible good news it is. So I'm going to help you appreciate it. I'm going to help you understand what death is. So imagine I can do this, and I stole this from Nikki Gumbel, so if you're an alpha, you've probably heard this before. Imagine I could do this. I'm going to take your life, and I'm going to put on the screen everything you've ever done, some of the good things and all of the bad things, including your thoughts. And we're going to read them, and your name's going to be at the end of it. How are you feeling about that idea, right? Don't pick me, thank you, right? If you knew everything I thought and felt, never mind all the stuff that I've done along the way, right? I would be terrified of that reality. I would just die, we would say, right? That's the person that Jesus knows. That's the person that God knows. That's the one that he sees, right? And he says, if that's all you've got, if you just stay there, you're dead, okay? Now, there's a lot more in there, and you can see that, and you can ask me questions later, but I don't have time to deal with all the details. I wish I did, but you don't want me up here for 4 hours. Oh, no, I hate it when that happens. Someone tell me what that means. It means I got a bad... Oh, no, you're seeing my last slide. Don't read, don't read. Okay. I don't want to give it away. You're going to leave on me. I love technology. Okay, yeah, don't read that one either. When I say don't read, you read faster, right? Yeah, don't read that one either. Here we go. Sorry. Here we thought it'd be so much smoother if I clicked myself. The good news, God gives first. And I use gives here intentionally because we're talking about giving today. Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy. Do you know God was rich? Right? He's rich in mercy. He's rich in love. And really the foundation point for anything we're going to talk about when it comes to stewardship is he's so rich that he owns this building. He owns your house. He owns my house. He owns the world, right? So we often talk and think in terms of, you know, I have this stuff and I got to give some of it to God. Yeah, no, you actually have no stuff. God has stuff and he's letting you use it, right? That's a very important truth because it totally changes the way you think about your money, right? If you are God's handiwork, if he created you and he has a plan for your life, right, then what he's doing is saying, I'm letting you borrow this stuff, and you all get a different amount to borrow, right? The real question is, what are you doing with it? How are you using it? Okay? He made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions, in sin. Right? Notice he's using resurrection language there, right? So the story of Christianity is Jesus died for our sin, and he rose again on the third day on Easter. Paul's telling us, you were dead. You went to the grave with Jesus. You went to the cross with Jesus. You went to the grave with Jesus. And you were made alive with him. Right? The point of Christianity, the point of faith is simply this. When you believe in Jesus, you went on the same journey as he did. You are with Jesus in his death. So you've paid for your sins. You've died for them. Right? And you've been made alive again in Jesus. You've been resurrected just like him. You are with him. You are in Christ. All this is by grace. We'll get back to that. Question, where are you sitting right now? You all want to say, I'm sitting right here, right? Did you notice this when I was reading the passage? Maybe not. There's a lot in there. You're not sitting right here. You're sitting with Jesus. God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. The minute you believe in Jesus Christ, the minute your life is tied with his, you're actually already in heaven. All right? We sometimes do this Christianity thing like, you know, I got to believe enough and go often enough so that I have my eternal life insurance so that when I die, I go to heaven. No, that's not biblical. Biblical teaching is you believe in Jesus, you become one with Jesus, you're in Christ, and you're beginning to experience the fullness of heaven right now. Right? It's already guaranteed. You're already sitting there, right? Not physically, obviously, but you're already sitting there with Jesus in faith. In order that in the coming ages, and this is the end of the story, he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Jesus says, you're already sitting with me, but while you're here, you're going to continue to move along, to invite other people into this journey, to experience my blessings, so that I can show you all along the way, all the amazing good, loving, blessing things that I can do in this world. What we are called to do in Jesus Christ is relax about the fact, am I in or am I out? You're in. If you have faith, you're in. You have this much faith, you're in. Now live into that as fully as you can. Now be like Jesus and love people as much as you can, bless people as much as you can, share as much as you can, be a force for good in this world as much as you can, so that you can experience the incomparable riches of his grace. Expressed in Jesus Christ, continue to be expressed in us. You can't brag about what you didn't do. Actually, you can. I've tried this. It actually does work. It's just a lie, and it's not a good idea. All right? You shouldn't brag about what you didn't do, for it is by grace that you've been saved. Grace is God saying, I'm giving this to you. While you were dead, not while you were struggling a little bit, I gave you a hand. While you were dead, I came along and picked you up. If you can own, right, there's parts of my life that I have no power. I love hanging around with recovering addicts, by the way, because recovering addicts get this better than the rest of us, it seems. Recovering addicts understand that I was powerless against whatever my addiction is. Until I surrendered my life to Christ and he started to get me on that journey. What I need us to understand, if you're not an addict, is that you are an addict. We're all sin addicts, right? Alcoholics Anonymous was based on Christian biblical principles, right? I've often thought we should really form worship. Colin, can you do this for me? We should form worship around an AA type meeting. Hi, my name's Eric, and I'm a sin addict, right? You say, hi, Eric. And then we tell our stories. This is what I did this week, right? We might want to do it in smaller groups. It's a bit large for that. But that's actually what it means to be followers of Christ, saved by grace, is that we understand that we're on this journey, that yes, he's already sat us in the heavenly realms, but it's by grace, it's his gift, it's this amazing thing where I can't control it, but he calls me into it anyways. And it's through faith, which is our believing. And just in case you think you're believing well enough to earn this, he says, no. Even the faith you use to believe in God is something he gave you. You didn't produce that. You didn't work that up by force of will, right? Most of us are like C.S. Lewis. We get dragged kicking and screaming into the kingdom of God. We don't think, hey, I want to do that in my own strength. Not by works so that nobody can boast. I think in most of us, there's this real need to earn what we get. So theologically, most of us would probably agree, yeah, it's by grace we've been saved. But I better do my part to make sure God knows that I'm paying him back for what he did for me. Right? It's by grace that you've been saved. Until you can sit in the understanding that pretty much against my will, God picked me up and took me onto his side. In spite of all the messiness of my life, until we can sit in that, we won't fully understand that incredible gift of grace. And you'll find the fullest peace when you are living in tune. Right? I think our worship team, whenever they're leading us, pretty important for them to be in tune, because it all sounds like it's the same thing. If you read the comics in the Star Zits this morning, Jeremy and his band were playing, right? And when they are done, the one guy says to the others, next time we should all play the same song, right? You need to be in tune because it sounds best. It works best. That's true in life as well, because we are God's handiwork. He created us in Christ Jesus to do good works, and he prepared those in advance for us to do. You see, none of your works earn anything. That's the basics of the gospel. But they're all there waiting for you to do anyways. The ongoing struggle question for the Church of Jesus Christ is, why do we do good things? Why do I participate in church? Right? And it's also true then, because I'm going to get to that, why do I give? I think that's my next slide. The tithing ladder, why do I give? So, there's lots of ways you can give. And to be honest, we'll take your money for whatever reason you're giving, and so will every charity, because money given for whatever reason still works. But what I want you to think about is, what's going on inside of you? Because you see that council said, we want you to write a pledge of the percentage of your income that you're going to give to kingdom causes, whatever they are, however you define that, and we're not even going to open it, and we're going to give it back to you. And I know some of you are saying, well, that's crazy, why would we do that? You're not going to open it, and why do you need to know? We don't need to know. I don't need to know what you're doing. But you do. And that's what this part's about, right? If we're saved by grace, if it's not by works, then why in the world are we giving? And how does that drive how we participate in this process? So, bottom floor of giving, it's not even going to be on there, is I don't give. It's my money. I keep it for myself, right? Let's move up a step. I give because I need to do my part. Right? Most of you are just simply responsible people, right? And you recognize that if I'm part of a community, I want to participate, right? When people come over to my house and we say, you're welcome to come and we will serve you a meal, most often they'll want to bring us something, even though we don't ask for it, and they'll say, can I help? Right? We are the kind of people who want to do our part. And if you're here and you're not even sure where you're at with Jesus yet and you want to do your part, you go right ahead. We will take it, right? But I hope we can step up the ladder. I give because the church or charity needs my money. Good again, because you're right. Churches and charities do need to be financially supported. But this is sort of, again, like, well, God needs me, right? And let's be honest, we slip into this one. The church kind of needs me. If the church doesn't have me and my tithing and my participation, then the church doesn't work. And logically and simply, that is true. But we're only on the second rung of the ladder, and I'm going to go all the way to the top, right? So, yes, have that responsibility, right? Have that understanding of what you need to do. But keep planning, please. Because the third one is, because I have received so much, right? This is the gratitude reason for giving. The gratitude reason for giving. Because the gratitude reason for giving is recognizing, again, God has done incredible things in my world and in my life for me. He's created me. He gives me breath every day. He allows me to live. He's blessed me with, well, we're all rich. If you live in this area of the world in Canada, you're rich, right? I work in a low-income neighborhood, a subsidized housing area, and I talk with those people too, and I've recognized something. I don't really need to give them money for almost anything, right? Even poor people in Canada are rich by world standards, right? We have what we need to get by. But when we recognize I've been blessed. God has poured out stuff into my life. I am able to do all kinds of things in his name. That gratitude pours out into generosity. And then what's the top one? Because I was created for this. What if we all worked with our income, our stewardship, our sharing, our loving, our generosity, with the mindset that this is exactly what God created me for? Right? There's one thing that would happen. We would no longer have Pledge Sunday. Right? So if all of us worked with a full mindset that everything I had is from God, and my job is to manage that because he's asked me to, right? And he seems to give this principle of about 10%, so I'm going to give 10%. Have you all worked out what 10% of your income is, by the way? And then you ask me gross or net? That's a bad question, by the way, because if you ask it, it's the bigger one. Right? If you don't ask it, do whatever you want. Either way, you pick whatever number that you need to give 10% of, and most of us will be going, wow. And some of us will go, yeah, but I make a lot of money, so that 10% is really high. I don't have to give all that. Yes, you do, actually. Because God's blessed you with a lot, so you can bless other people with a lot. It's just the basic bottom line. Right? Because you know what the biblical principle is? It's not actually tithing. God doesn't want 10% because he already has all of it. He wants you to give generously. He doesn't want me to stand up here or anyone else to stand up here and tell you what you're obligated to do. He doesn't want to make this a matter of responsibility. He doesn't want you to have any opportunity to boast. He wants you to go, I'm in Christ. Whatever happens, even in my poverty, I'm going to be generous and give. Even in my struggles, I'm going to be generous and give because I was created for this. This is the meaning and purpose of life. I'm God's handiwork. I'm his child. I'm his follower. So whatever I do, Christ created me to do good works, which he's planned for me in advance. And how many good works do you think God has planned in advance for you to do? I think it's millions, right? I think it's endless. I think a real task is to go, you know what I was created to do? Try and find some other way to bless some other person on whatever occasion I bump into. Let's make that our pledge. Not this amount, but this life. Jesus, I give it, and all that you've given me, back to you, because it was yours in the first place. I was dead, and by grace, you raised me up, that I might participate in everything you had in store for me to do. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your call in our lives. Thank you for creating us. Thank you for this incredible world. Thank you for all that you've poured out into our lives. And help us to take time to take stock, to count, reflect, and experience what you've given us. And then help us to respond by being as generous as possible, to take the love you've given us and multiply it in others the way you multiplied it in us. Lord Jesus, make us exactly who you created us to be, those who live to give. In your name we pray. Amen.